I want to make a couple of announcements, or maybe I could have Anna. Could you tell people about the full moon work that you're doing?
Good.
And some of you, I don't know if Anna just announced this or not, but we have a DK Academy, DK Academy summer retreat coming up at the time of the Cancer full moon, and we're going to have that at Humlegården. See, I wonder how we can do that. Can we get a flower pot behind that, the way I had before? Either that or open the door. Yeah. We'll just leave it partially open, right? Something like that. Okay. We have a DK Academy, Dwalkul Academy, summer retreat at Humlegården. Where is it? Nystrande or something like that? 17? Mm-hmm. Beautiful surroundings, and it is going to be from June the 24th through June the 27th. And our theme is the call of the ashram. The call of the ashram. That inner spiritual group to which each one of us seeks to belong. We're going to go into the matter deeply. We'll be doing astrology and rheology and a lot of meditation, and we invite you. This is our fourth DK Academy summer retreat. And if you are interested in it, would they speak to you? Or whom? To Anna, right? Or,
no, I don't know who the owner.
Well, there's got to be someone.
they
come and talk to me.
Yeah, they can talk to me, and then I can forward it.
Yeah. We'll get it to the people for whom it is. So,
yeah.
If you would like to come and be part of that, please do let us know. We have a good time, and we go deep. Okay. All right. Now, looking at the hour, I would like to say just a few more things before I get more into the rays and the people that you might know who exemplify these rays. We have this externalizing of the hierarchy going on, and when it happens, there will be certain masters of the wisdom who are particularly involved in the process. Five of them particularly, and I know many of you have studied theosophy and about the masters, but the Master Kutumi is involved in all work of education. The Master Dwalkul, who is behind the Alice Bailey books, he's particularly involved with aspirants for initiation. The first, second, and third initiation, the birth of the Christ, the baptism, and the transfiguration, to use the Western terms. They have other terms in the East. The ashram, very big ashram, of Master Rakosi, Master R, who is the former Comte de Saint-Germain, Francis Bacon, Roger Bacon, seventh ray master, and his monad is on the third ray. So these two masters, DK and KH, the second ray of love and wisdom, and Master R, the seventh ray and the third ray, regarding the reorganizing and reconstruction of Europe from the point of view of economics. Well, right now, there's a crisis in his department. Because I think he is behind the European Union and the general sense of peace in Europe through economic prosperity. Then comes the Master Moria on the first ray, and he seeks to find and influence and direct the activity of workers in the political field. So he seeks to inspire the statesmen of the world so that there can be right government. And then the Master Hilarion on the fifth ray of science and analysis and concrete intellect, the universal mind. The ashram of Master Hilarion is supervising the discoveries and the application of such discoveries of the scientific movement in the world today. So we have the second ray of love and wisdom, the seventh and third ray of magic and economics, intelligence. We have the first ray of will and power, and we have the fifth ray of science, involved particularly in the externalization of the hierarchy. Now, somewhere in these departments, in relation to these great teachers, you will find your area of expression. There are 10 areas of service. Well, every ray type has its own method of service, and we don't need to deal with that because they deal with the quality of the rays. Some other time we can discuss that. But we have something we call 10 seed groups that are meant to grow into full plants over the next 200 years. And within these 10 areas, you may find your particular field of service. Now, you know, many of us, we kind of know what our field of service is, but we could always know better, know more precisely what we might be able to do to be more effective. So, the first group involved telepathy and communication, receiving the impression of the divine plan and communicating it to others. The second group, called the observers of reality, help to clear up glamour and illusion in the thought process of humanity. So they see into situations and see what's really going on, and they help to disperse the problematic energies. The third group are healers. How many here are interested in healing? See, it's quite a popular area, and the healing is done in three different ways. It's done in relation to your etheric body, then there is emotional healing, and then there is mental healing. So it begins with the magnetic radiatory healing of your bioelectric field, and it goes on to heal the emotions and heal also the mind, which is a little more complicated. Then come the educators of the new age. How many of you are involved in some form of education? Okay, healing and education is quite strong. And they teach people how to build the rainbow bridge to the higher realms whereby ideas can be contacted. And in general, they are responsible for the illumination of the mind. Then come the political workers. They work with the first ray particular. Every one of these groups works with different chakra combinations. Now, I could get into all that, but just take my word for it, it's quite interesting. They all work with the crown center, every one of them. That's the only thing that all of them have in common. And then other combinations of chakras or centers, energy centers, determine their work. The political workers, it's a first ray department. How many here are really interested in politics, really into it? Okay, there are a few. Okay. They work with the imposition of the will of divinity on the mind of humanity. It's not just personal imposition, not personal. It's an impersonal imposition of a higher will on the thought process of humanity, so they enunciate the new ideas that must govern humanity. Then the workers in the field of religion, spirituality, this is the field of invocation and evocation. We are calling for divinity through scientific methods, and we receive the downflow. How many of you are interested in the full moon work? Because that's part of it, right there, the New World Religion. The New World Religion will be based upon astrological cycles and invocation and evocation at the time of the full moon. Then come the, there's a spelling mistake. There. Okay. Scientific severs? Well, maybe. Okay. Scientific servers, they are lifting the veil by revealing the true laws and formulas behind matter. So they penetrate deeply into matter to find God behind matter, to find God behind the garment of God. So they are the investigators, and they test everything to make sure it's true. How many are involved in science in some way here? Okay. All right, it's a very important area, and one of their first tasks will be to prove the validity of reincarnation. And they will be working with servers on other rays to do that. The law of cyclic return. They will prove the factual nature of that, eventually proving factually the existence of the soul. In France. No, France is not far away. All right. Then come the eighth group, the psychologists, who are said to be more theosophical by persuasion. But they understand the quality of ideas, and they help people communicate their energies among each other, bringing right adjustment of the human energy system to the environment and to each other. How many are involved in psychology in some way? Okay? It's a very important field. We're told that if occultism is ever to reach humanity, the masses of people, it will be done through psychology. And of course, psychology will include rayology, astrology, chakrology, or whatever. All right. Financiers and economists of the ninth group, and they control the distribution of that by which the human being lives. How many are interested in money? Oh, wait, wrong question. How many are really afraid of money? Okay. So anyway, this is a very important field, and there's all kinds of inequality and poor distribution. It's just like in your body. Suppose some organs get all the energy and other organs don't get anything. You're not going to have health, are you? So it's the same way in the world. And finally, we have the creative workers who are experts in the magical process of manifestation, including the artistic field. How many are interested in artistic creativity and magical manifestation? Oh yeah, all right. So, it is a seventh ray group. Of course, all the rays can be found in these different groups, but there are some rays primarily present. Okay. So, know who you are, find the area of service which is really yours, polish and perfect the service. Make sure there's no ego in it, because you're really helping in order to help. Find the ashram that you're connected with. Be inspired by it. And then, get busy. Do it. Do it. With keen aspiration, an illumined mind, the will to sacrifice. I love this thing, you know. The very first rule for initiation, and it's not a high initiation, it just always sets me back, and I just have to be quiet when I read it. This is about the very first initiation. So measure yourself, as I try to do me. If he cares not for the suffering and pain of the lower self, oops, if it is immaterial to him whether happiness comes his way or not, If the sole purpose of his life is to serve and save the world, and if his brother's need is for him of greater moment than his own, then is the fire of love irradiating his being, and the world can warm itself at his feet. Four stiff requirements. That's rule one. Hey, it's better to see where we are, right? It's both the beginning and the end. It's the beginning and the end. Because if we could really do this, we would be, you know, a true initiate, a true server, a true selfless server. But I memorize this thing, and I repeat it to myself, because I've got to know the standard against which to measure accomplishment. So it's good to have some of these standards in our minds and hearts, so we don't fool ourselves, right? And pretend to be what we're not. All kinds of people claim to be this and that, and they don't come close to fulfilling these four requirements. Anyway, take that to heart. And now, persist. That's all. Just keep going, keep going, keep going, eternally. Master Mori is wonderful. He says, I can promise you one thing. Endless labor. Great. Yeah, like that. But of course, you know, really, the universe keeps on recurring, and new universe all the time, so we're going to work our way forever and enjoy it. Okay, now let's get on with another. I thought what to do, I have a little time left. I thought the thing to do would be, in a way, to get right to the point. I'd like to talk about something. Well, look, just names. Ray 1, will and power, red. The governors, the rulers, the leaders, the imposers, the directors. Anybody relate? No, not me. Okay. Ray 2, love, wisdom, magnetism, teaching, healing, embracing, together, drawing all magnetically, feeling, empathizing, sensitive. Anybody relate? Color blue. Color blue, come on. Color blue. There's only one place worse than Denmark for raising one's hand. It's Finland. Where I live. There's so much you can say about these things, but just quick. Ray 3, intelligence, activity, philosophy, mathematics, economics, thinking, speaking, communicating, many words, many ideas, all kinds of possibilities, multitasking. Anybody relate? Green. Okay, it's green. I just really simplify, okay? You could get into this for years. Ray 4, harmony through conflict. Harmony, beauty, and art. Struggle, suffering, beauty, exaltation, highs, lows, enthusiasm, depression, uneven life, and finally, beauty and joy because of the beauty. Anybody relate? It's the ray of humanity, better. What? Okay, this is, it comes in, Scorpio. These are the different ones that are involved here. And I can show you how they work, but it goes through the rulers of the different signs. I don't want to get into too many details. But it's a lot of fun to trace all the lines and how they go. See, I'm doing a Ray 3 thing here, as I tell you about that. Okay? But this is the ray of struggle. It is humanity's ray. Humanity is a scorpionic family, struggling to overcome death in matter, rising in triumph above the dense physical plane through the power of the sacrificial fourth ray. So we've all got it. We've all got fourth ray. But it's really the artistic ray. And it's the ray of making peace and bridging and somehow bringing people together, resolving their conflicts. You know, the Middle East really needs this ray a lot. Okay. Ray 5, science, study, experimentation, observation, truth, factuality, a clear observation of form, many experiments, truthful, and wanting to know how things work. Anybody feel like you have an analytical, clear, and you like machines, even? You know? The likers of machines. You know, they are a special breed. All right. One day you can take my Ray test. You can take it now online. It's just PIP2 online. PIP, Personal Identity Profile, PIP2 online. Just go there. You can take the test. It's a donation basis. And it'll give you an idea of what your rays are. It's just the beginning. You really have to work at this. You have to, you know, kind of massage it. Because we, you know, in a way, look, we've all got all the rays. We all have all the rays. But we have emphases, certain strong emphases, and according to those emphases, so we work out our life and our purpose. So we got to find out what the emphasis is. So this is the ray of discovery, of invention. This is the ray that will make possible leisure time for humanity to develop itself internally, educationally, spiritually. This is the ray of the labor-saving device, you know. We didn't always have washing machines, did we? We didn't always have television. We didn't always have technology. This is the technology ray. Okay. This ray is going out of business. It will be gone before long, but it's still pretty strong. Pretty strong. By the year 2130, it will be out of incarnation for a certain cycle. The sixth ray of devotion, idealism, enthusiasm, coaching, motivation, vision, going for a thing, giving your all to it, you know. It's the ray of the preacher. It's the ray of the person who has a great idea and wants to impress you with that idea. Okay. Oops. All right. Different planets give these rays and so forth. Does anybody feel like an enthusiast, a coach, getting the fire going, aspiring, burning, you know? Anybody like that here? Yes, yes, yes. It's a very important ray. It's been with us for 2,000 years, and it is in a... It still has 21,000 years to run on its major cycle, which is probably 150,000 years. So it's not going away. None of these rays go away. None is any better than any other. It's just, you know, what have we got now and how do we use it? That's what we want to know. The next one is the ray of the Aquarian Age for the next 2,500 years. The ray of magic, the ray of ceremony, the purple ray, the violet ray, the ray of bringing heaven to earth, the ray of things done rightly in form, the ray of organization, everything squared away. You know, the Scandinavian countries have a lot of this ray. They, you know, it's the ray of social cooperation, people obeying the rules. So you're quite good at that up here. Let's say compared to Russia or something. Much better. Anybody feel that they're a good organizer? Wow, that's scary. Yeah, it is the ray that we need to straighten out the physical plane mess we've got. So it will reorganize the economic system of the world and make sure there is equitable and fair distribution and right rhythm. It's the ray of cyclic rhythm in which we keep the instrument in good shape because we keep to our proper rhythms and respect the form. There's so much that can be said about it. I've written a book on the subject, and if you want to get that book, you can go to www.makara, which is a very interesting occult name, .us. And there you can just download it. You can download it if you read it. You can also download one of my unreadable books, and I won't tell you about it. You just go there. The book on the rays is readable. The book on infinity, give it a try. Okay, so that's ray 7. Now, I think one of the best ways is to look at people who have the rays. Now, when I try to assess a person's rays, and I never tell them their rays, because people who get their rays told to them, they just carry that impression for years and years and years, and they never think. And they say, well, this teacher told me, oh, it must be true, because this teacher's an expert. I would never do that. I would just give you my impression of what I feel. And it's up to you to work out the possibilities yourself as you examine your behavior, as you examine the friends you have or don't, as you examine the crises you have in your life when you switch from one quality of energy to another. Yes. Maybe you were a religious devotee and you suddenly take an interest in science, and the devoteeism goes down and scientific research goes way up. Maybe you're switching from a sixth ray devotional emphasis to a fifth ray emphasis on the light of knowledge. See, by these transition moments in life, sometimes called the midlife crisis or any crisis, we can learn a lot about what we've been focusing on and what we're moving to. I used to be, in my life, an opera director. I was a stage director. I studied theater. I worked in all kinds of acting and that kind of thing. And then I discovered the ageless wisdom. And then opera, well, I still, you know, a little operatic, but opera faded out, and study, faded in. From the fourth ray to the second ray. What are the transitions in your life? Study your transitions. They will tell you a lot about what was the ray of your personality compared to what may be the ray of your soul. Now look, not everybody gets into their soul ray in any one life. If you're a spiritually inclined person, it probably means that your soul is waking up, or that you as a soul are waking up, and you as a soul are influencing your personality quality. So there's a fight going to happen now when this quality of selflessness impresses the selfish part of you ruled by other rays. And by the nature of that battle, you will be able to tell much about what your rays are. So if you've ever had a really big struggle in your life, analyze the ray factors involved in that struggle. Now the other method of telling the rays is to look at the expression on your face and the structure of your face and your body. Because physiognomy and the study of the form, I promise to write a book on this very soon, reveals the inner energy patterns. Do you hold your chin up? Do you look under your eyebrows? Do you look devotionally? Are your eyes always shifting back and forth? Do you have that worried look? Do you examine things up close? Are you a dreamer? The expression of the eyes are the windows to the soul. So I like to get a picture of everybody. I like to have an interview with somebody. I study how they look at me, what they do with their eyes, the shape of their face, what their chin is doing, the mobile expressions, the structural expressions, all of that reveals the inner energy pattern. It is a great study, and people are so interesting. You know, even the lines around the eyes, and whether the eyebrows arch, or whether they go like this, or down like this, you know. Is the mouth firm? Is the mouth, are the lips big? Is the mouth wide? All of these things relate to the inner energy pattern. And then we have to use the fifth ray and study and compare. Keep your eye open, study the faces of people, and study their expressions. Okay, and that's what we'll do now. This is one of the great first ray souls. My ray assessment of him, Lincoln, is with a first ray soul, which DK virtually says. The soul of synthesis. His job was to hold the American country together and not let it split north-south. So he had the synthetic first ray, but his personality ray, I believe, was the second ray of love and wisdom. Look at the expression here. And he says, please, here's the love energy, please keep them away from me, you know how easily I give in. This was his statement to the people around him. He's in the middle of running a war, and everybody's coming to beg him for this or that. So So he says, I'll just give in if you send them to me. This is the second-rate personality. He was always telling a story, a lot of jokes, fourth-ray mind. He had the aspiration of the sixth-ray astral body, and I think he had a first-ray physical body. He was extremely strong. He was an Aquarius person with the sun in Aquarius. He had Sagittarius on his ascendant. Look at the eyes. This is the first ray. This is the firmness of the mouth. This is the first ray expression in the eyes. It's quite serious, and it is intent on purpose. He was an avatar of a racial kind, a racial avatar, and his theme was synthesis and union. So I think if we were to trace his spirit ray back to the top of his energy system, we would find the second ray of love wisdom as his spirit ray. Now, I said that each one of us has a five-fold energy pattern. There are really six rays, but the highest ray is the X factor. It's hard to determine because we're not at that stage of evolution yet. But obviously Lincoln was some kind of an initiate, maybe an initiate of the third degree, transfigured initiate, and he could begin to resonate to the monadic ray, we call it, or the ray of the spirit. Your deepest inner spiritual being has a ray. So I would say his formula is ray two monad, ray one soul, ray two personality, ray four mind, ray six astral body, ray one physical body. That's how it looks to me. I could be wrong. One day, these things will be scientifically ascertainable beyond any shadow of doubt. But we have to, at first, study, speculate, compare, use our mind the way we can. That's another one. Well, you see, look at the eyes are the windows to the soul. Got a sort of second-ray, fourth-ray look over here. The eyes are the... Yeah, if your eyebrows go up like this, that's the sign of the fourth ray. You see, when they sort of peak in the middle, it's the pain reaction. Nobody feels pain like the fourth ray. Okay. Here's another first-ray soul. I think he doesn't look quite as friendly as Lincoln. That's Julius Caesar. Here he even looks a little cruel. The typical Roman look and the strong Roman nose. He was a Cancerian with Capricorn on his ascendant. Just like Alexander the Great, Cancer. Cancer's son. Swallow the world, you know, conquer everything. My estimation of him is that he had a first-ray soul, not a second-ray monad, not sure, maybe third-ray, first-ray, I'm not sure, and a third-ray intelligent, active personality, going everywhere, writing in his journal, and traveling all over the world, conquering. It was his statement, I came, I saw, I conquered. Rather brief and to the point. But he doesn't have that love quality, and D.K. said so. He is just one of the most prominent first-ray souls in history. Some of this is from Finland. This is the former president of Finland, and his name is Kekkonen, but, you know, he's got the look. He's got the thin mouth, you know, serious demeanor. He's got the eagle look around the cheekbones. He was a good man, and he held everything together and basically prevented Russia from overtaking Finland. So he was a defender. I don't know his full astrology, some Virgo things and so forth, but that's a serious look, and I think you can see around the mouth and the strong chin this first-ray energy. Here is a man by the name of Mannerheim, who was the marshal of Finland, leading it through two wars, and he knew the Baileys. He was an esotericist on some level. He was writing to someone by the name of Bailey. Clearly first ray in his face. But, look at this. There's more than just first ray. The seventh ray of ceremony, uniform, decorum, don't I look good? He's got the first ray soul, and I think the seventh ray personality. Here he is in Tibet. The story about him is that he had such a good intuition. He was in a blinding snowstorm in the east, and he just said, "We have to stop." And he just stopped all his men, stopped the army, whatever they were, the exploration team. The storm blew over, and they were on the edge of a cliff. If they had gone any further, that would have been it. So he had that kind of attunement, that inner attunement. But here, again, is this very impressive, stern look. And, you know, I'm not saying he's not kind. This is a perfect seventh ray version. Because the seventh rays, they love how the appearance is a big deal for the seventh ray people. You know, they want to look good, because after all, they are the presented idea. So the idea should look good. So I say first ray, seventh ray. The eyes are serious, again. You wouldn't exactly say they are kindly. This man, again, without him, the whole country would have fallen apart. He had a huge job. He was a Gemini with Scorpio rising. And very successful with the ladies, I hear. This is gossip, of course. All right, this is another one of those guys. You don't need to know about him. Okay. All the rays come from different constellations. Now, I don't know if I showed you where ray one came from, because I don't have it. But anyway, ray two comes through the signs Gemini, Virgo, and Pisces, and it goes through various planets until it reaches the Earth. You could study all this. It's very interesting. This is an hourglass figure. It's a double Dorje. And in this double diamond, which is the Tibetan Dorje, is the secret of transmission from a constellational source through signs of the zodiac, through the sun, through the planets, to the earth. Energy follows that pattern. Okay. The cup is the symbol of the first ray, not the sword. Well, what are you going to say? This is the second ray. Do you recognize this person? Yes. This person does not look like Julius Caesar. Nor does he look like Mannerheim, nor does he look like Kekkonen. You see the kindly expression around the eyes, and of course the smile, and you see the joy quality. So he's obviously a second ray soul, and probably has a fourth ray harmonizing personality, because his big thing is somehow to get everybody to make the bridges, especially emotionally. He's a high initiate, no question about it. Probably almost the fourth degree. Probably, certainly third degree, almost the fourth degree. And a perfect example of the... It's so beautiful. Now, you know, you might not say, "Hey, hi, Julius, how you doing?" But Mr. Dalai Lama, you know, he wants to take your hand and press your hand and smile at you and reassure you that you're worth something, right? It's a whole different approach. The second ray is magnetic, and the first ray tells you what to do. It's a very different approach. The second ray invites you to consider the possibility that you might like to try this. It's a little different. Do you find yourself more imposing or more inviting? How do you find yourself? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, there's a lot of... the second ray ashram is in now. There's a lot of people following the second ray cycle. And in groups of this nature, there's a lot of people on the second ray in their soul. That's probably the majority. They love to study. They are helpful. They feel deeply. They have great empathy. They want to be with you. They won't cut themselves off from you. What did the Christ say? He's the perfect second ray. Lo, I am with you until the end of the age. That means he's here. not abandoning you. The second ray has incredible loyalty. Okay. All right. You know who this one is? This is a little more obscure, but he's got the same quality. Were any of you alive in the 1950s? All right. This is Dr. Suzuki, D.T. Suzuki. And he is the famous exponent of Zen Buddhism in California and the United States. He wrote all these books about the real meaning of Zen. And he's got the same thing around the eyes. He has the great smile. He has the compassionate look. He has the understanding. It's clearly a second ray look. And, you know, and it's not, you know, they're all different kinds of smiles, but you can feel the radiation from this one. He has a lot of what the Dalai Lama had. Maybe he was a little more philosophical in his presentation and not quite so popular. He dealt more with the intelligentsia. But he had a quality that attracted many to Zen Buddhism in the 1950s and 1960s. He was one of the forerunners of the 1960s, which opened everything up in terms of the consciousness movement. Does anybody remember the 60s? Okay. This is the same idea. This is a priest in Finland, and he, you know, he's got that same thing around his eyes, but he looks a little more third ray too, a little of that crafty quality. When you see the crafty quality, you suspect the presence of the third ray as well. But basically, he's a very Jupiterian type, wouldn't you say? Jupiter is the planet that brings in the second ray of love and wisdom. It's one of the major planets. Okay, well, this is perfect. You know who this is? Albert Schweitzer. And there is the suffering around the eyes. The fourth ray is present. And he's a man who gave up everything to help. So, you know, he's one of these people between the third initiation and the fourth initiation. He could have had it all, and he did. And he gave it up, and he went where there was nothing to give what he could. And Princess Diana, she had that quality. It's the teaching ray and so forth. I can't spend too long. Ray 3 comes through Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, and these other planets, which I will not detail right now. Its symbol is oftentimes the web rather than the chalice, like the spider web. It has many symbols. The network is its symbol. Perfect Ray 3. With that faraway look, he has, you know, this is the sort of, I don't know what to say about that. Anyways, he's the dreamer in terms of the great theories of mind. He used to say, well, I'm not much with people, he said. He was a Pisces person with the sign Cancer on his ascendant. But he also had a second ray personality, as well as the third ray soul. So he was a great theoretician, and he said, you know, I'm really much more a philosopher than I am a mathematician or a scientist. By the way, take a look here. Notice these cheeks, how flat they are, like this. That is oftentimes accompanying a powerful Pisces placement. The flattening of the cheeks, which is associated in physiognomy with silence. So he used to like to go out with his sailboat just on the lake all by himself and dream up these things. You know, the example of very, very powerful intellect, some fifth ray, obviously, but he used to have others do the mathematics for him. He was not the detailed man. He was the intuitive. How did he do the theory of relativity? With imagination. That's how he did it. He conducted a thought experiment, not an experiment that was done in a concrete manner. As a matter of fact, I don't have time, but it was all about whether light would bend, whether light from Mercury would bend around the sun. So he said, it'll bend. So then he sent out a good fifth ray type, Eddington, other scientists in teams to actually measure where there was a bending of the light. The fifth raise went out and measured it. He sat at home. The clouds covered one of the teams. They couldn't do a thing. But the other one got it. The light did bend, proving that it responded to gravity and that light was matter. And he said, and they said, well, look, you almost got completely, it only happens rare. And one of the groups didn't even have a chance to measure because the clouds covered it. What would you have done if none of them could have measured? He says, well, it was right anyway. It wouldn't have made any difference. Okay. Well, here's an example. Has anybody read Immanuel Kant in your university? Did you find him easy to understand? Actually, when he gave his critique of pure reason to one of his friends returned it half read and said, this is driving me mad. Okay. So it is a great book dealing with the most complex thought processes. This is the realm of the third ray. And there again, that wide open eyes that is looking into the distance. He was just a little man. He was just very, very little. But he had a strong seventh ray. They used to set their clock by him when he took the walk every day exactly punctually at the time. Ray 3, ray 5, ray 7. Okay. Bertrand Russell, have you heard of him? Philosopher? He was a great mathematician. Look how smart he looks when he's a kid. That is a smart look. He turned out to be a great idealist, and he has a lot of Scorpio, as you can see. He wrote absolutely incomprehensible books at first. It took him and Alfred North Whitehead, Alfred Whitehead, 200 pages to get to 2 plus 2 equals 4. That, really, they had to prove all this stuff before they could get to 2 plus 2 equals 4. Principles of mathematics. That's total third ray stuff. Later he said, I'm going to write so people understand things. And he became a great peace activist, probably with his sixth ray personality, I think. Well, you can see there is the third ray guy. It doesn't look like you can trust him, not a whole lot. Okay. All right. Now we'll go on, fourth ray. Comes from three signs, Taurus, Sagittarius, and Scorpio. Now look, if you have these signs, it means you do have these rays astrologically, but they may not be in your ray chart. Okay? So there are many different layers of interpreting these energies. But it's good to know what rays come through what signs and the planets through which they come. A colorful ray, loving color, loving contrast, all manner of change and interplay, especially leading to harmony. Well, there's the look again. By the way, see, look, flattened cheekbones. Pisces. See, that's Michelangelo, who was a Pisces with Sagittarius rising. Peacemakers and dancers and artists and so forth. I think he was a fourth-ray soul. I think so, because of the great beauty he produced. Remember, it's the soul ray, which is your major contribution. That's your contribution. And the personality ray is how you make that contribution. So the end is the soul ray, and the means is the personality ray. Yes?
Yes, I read in DK's book that he was seven-ray personality and 415.
Who? Where did you read
Leonardo
that?
Leonardo da Vinci in the Nation.
Da Vinci, 4-4, a double
it's
4.
4, 5, and 1.
Yes, I think, well, I don't think you found Ray 1, but I know you found Ray 4. I know
but
that.
But he built it up, his mental.
Okay, you show me.
But 3.
Yeah, I know Ray 4 was there in Ray 5 for mechanism. Let's look at him. There he is. A Ray 4 soul, Leonardo da Vinci. With a double fourth ray. Where was it? Either fourth ray personality and fourth ray soul, or fourth ray mind and fourth ray soul. I think he had ray 5.
Yeah, but he had to have 7 in it. The 7 has personality, 4 and 5.
This he never said so.
Build up.
You show me. You show me. Anyway, he did discuss Da Vinci, and as a representative of the universal man, the Renaissance man, perfect Renaissance man, Renaissance individual, Ray 4 soul. Okay. Here's Mozart, Ray 4 soul, Ray 2 personality, I think. I'm not sure how much we can see, but he definitely was tuned in with the divine beauty of the divine mind, the Buddhic plane, and he wrote easily. Not like Beethoven, who struggled, not like many others. He just was bringing it down. And he says, I only write down what I hear. And he wrote it, you know, easily. And so you get this, and of course he had Reza, because everything is so supremely organized. Okay. This man struggled a bit more. Yes, Van Gogh, with an airy sun, sign of struggle, and Cancer on the rising sign, sixth-rate personality. He was a lay preacher, he had a Sagittarius moon, not very happy, struggling, lots of Pisces again under the eyes, and a very intense life, where finally he committed suicide. Well, at least he shot himself and died, you know. He has the Sagittarius look around his mouth, because of the moon there, and that moon is Sagittarius, you know, it has a horse look, the equine look. And the moon was very important for him because it was the ruler of his Cancer ascendant. So if the moon is the ruler of one of your important points, it emphasizes very much on your face. He has extremely troubled look, and you just don't see the man smile. So he was deeply involved in conflict. All right, fourth ray. Great fourth ray soul, in this case, first-rate personality. By the way, when you see the dimple in the chin, it's sometimes called the Teutonic chin, but it oftentimes signals either the sign Taurus or Scorpio. So it will frequently be found in those two signs, or when Venus is prominent. In Beethoven's case, he was a Sagittarius sun. He had a Capricorn moon, and what sign do you think was rising? I've just given you the hint. Do you think it was Taurus or Scorpio? What do you think? Does he look more scorpion-like or bull-like? Yeah, I'm convinced it was Taurus rising. The great sound that he created. Wagner, too, who had Taurus rising. This ocean of sound washing across. And the hammer blows of his music, Vulcan, first ray, the ruler of Taurus. It all fits in these ways. Okay, here's a man who's struggling. Fourth ray, can't get along with anybody, fighting everybody. Finnish man, but this is the fourth ray look right there. The corrugated brow, not always, but oftentimes the worried look. It is the worrying. Does anybody here worry? you find worry to be a thing for you. Yeah. I used to worry. Still do. Okay. Ray 5. It goes through. Leo, all for good reasons. I can explain this stuff, but we have no time. Leo, Sag, and Aquarius reaches the Earth eventually. Ray 5. Who do we have? Well, Da Vinci. Okay. He has strong Ray 5. It would have to. You can't make military machinery without Ray 5. You cannot invent things without Ray 5. Especially if they're going to come right down into matter. So it's the Ray of the inventor, Stephen Hawking. Technology makes it possible for this man to communicate anything he knows. He's totally paralyzed, except maybe for the very slightest movements of his vocal cords. And by the way, he was born on the same day as Isaac Newton. Very interesting. Another strongly Ray 5 individual, giving us all those laws of physics, Ray 5. And here's an astrophysicist, a mind. He's a mind trapped in a body for very strong karmic purposes, as his horoscope reveals. Jonas Salk discovered the polio vaccine, looks happy. And, you know, I think he has some Ray 2 also. But here he's in the lab coat doing what Ray 5s do, and it just took tremendous research on his part to come up with it. Do you know who this one is? Galileo. And he started some of the first laws of physics. The church had a little trouble with him, put him under house arrest. you know, and he was a proponent of the heliocentric theory, that the earth moved. The Inquisition got him, and they were going to really do him upright, but he recanted and was given house arrest. But he was heard to mutter about the earth as he was leaving the Inquisition. Yet, nevertheless, it does move. Yeah. Turned out he was right. This is the guy who leads the skeptical inquirer in Finland. He has that dry look, and he doesn't believe. He's got Ray 2. His mind just won't let him accept the nonsense of spirituality, so he debunks it all the time. And, you know, the usual, here's Galileo testing the rapidity with which a ball rolls down the hill. He did gravity tests with the Tower of Pisa, you know, dropping things, finding out the acceleration was the same. He did a lot of those kinds of things. Here's Ray 6. The major sign for it is Sag, with Virgo and Pisces as well. There's a good symbol, the long-armed cross. Do you know who this is? He doesn't look so good in the middle there. But it was a huge sacrifice on his part. Look at those burning eyes. That's one of the things you find with Ray 6. You know, the fanatical eyes, the burning eyes, the intensity of Ray 6. His name was Father Damien. And he went to Molokai Island to help the lepers of Molokai Island. When everybody else abandoned them, he gave up his rather easier parish work as a Catholic priest. And he went there, and for many years, he helped the lepers in unbelievable ways until he himself contracted leprosy, at which time he rejoiced that he had. This is a six-ray soul. And the Tibetan held him in such high regard that he said, the death of a Hitler is one thing, and the death of a Jesus or Father Damien is another. So he linked him with Jesus. I believe he was passing through the fourth initiation. Very, very powerful spiritual man who believed in doing what was right. And here, that's the look. You know, you'll see that. Well, okay. He's Pisces and Gemini. He's got the watery eyes of the Pisces. He believes in his cause. And he's surely a sixth ray soul, with a lot of crafty third ray and some first ray too. Very smart, very, very smart. But believing in his ideals, which, who knows? I mean, if you didn't know who he was, you might look at him and say, well, this is a saintly man. You might. And many people think he is. Anyway, the sixth ray is very strong. Oh, yes, there we go. What do you say? Jesus said, and here he is, 85 or something. He's still at it. He's got that look in the eye, doesn't he? Look at him here. Huh? So he's a perfect embodiment of the sixth ray as it works for Christianity. Okay, look. He's a Scorpio. He's got Aries rising. He's got Mars in Sagittarius, if it means anything. You know, in other words, he's got all the preacher's signs. So he's probably the most successful preacher in the world. And he has high principles, and after living a life of sin, he straightened out. You know what I mean? He repented, redeemed, and now he's teaching everybody else how to do it too. Like a good Scorpio. Okay. Well, he's got the fourth ray look too. You don't know this man, but he went out into the wilderness and he did a lot of preaching. Here's the look. I don't know about this. I don't think Bing Crosby. I don't know. But you see Joan of Arc, she's the archetype for the sixth ray. The eyes look up. You know, they have the prayerful look. You look up in hope. She's got it. It's a little bit infantile the way they make her look. She was really much tougher. She had Leo, Capricorn, all that. She was no pushover. This makes kind of sweet. But still, the eyes are correct. here we're looking up, hopefully, like, and here, this is serious business. Mm-hmm. This is Mother Teresa, obviously, deeply on the sixth ray. And somehow before all humanity as an example of the saintly sixth ray. Okay, moving on, the seventh ray finally, Aries, Cancer, and Capricorn, and Capricorn is the major sign of the sixth ray. Seventh ray. Okay, well, you recognize this man, Sir Francis Bacon, a.k.a. the Count de Saint-Germain, in a later incarnation. This is the seventh ray master, who has a third ray intelligent monad. He knows all the languages. He knows Sanskrit, Hebrew, Chinese, all the languages you would want to know for scholarly purposes. He can manifest, materialize anything. He's working in the economic field. He's very interested in ritual. Totally brilliant philosophical, but not just philosophical, practical manifesting individual. Extremely rich. Well, when you can make your own jewels with your own thought, you know. The amazing thing about him, you know, the French court heard a very wealthy man has come to town. We have to invite him there. So he did that on purpose so he would be invited because he wanted to redeem the French court. So they invite him and he invites them to dinner and everybody who's at his dinners, they get this beautiful jewel next to their placemat. It's unique. He must be very rich. They have a wonderful time. They go home and the jewel disappears. It was an aport. It was just a manifestation of mind, which just disappeared later. Wouldn't do them any good anyway, you know. Shouldn't be attached. Benjamin Franklin, he's a great example of the seventh ray. The seventh ray types, they can do anything on the physical plane. He was obviously an initiate, probably a third degree. Aries rising, sun in something. Capricorn? I think so. No. I can't remember. But he had Venus in Capricorn for sure and Aries rising. Maybe it's Capricorn. I can't remember. He has the Capricorn chin, which is usually pretty pronounced. And he has the dimple too, but it gets complicated. Because if you're born in the Taurus part of Capricorn, you get the dimple. See, it's very fascinating how the energies all go together. Anyway, he was a great and practical student of the Count de Saint-Germain in France. So was Jefferson, another seventh-ray soul. All right, here's the Curies. Discovering rays and radium and so forth, and Decase actually said they are on the seventh ray, both of them. I don't know if I can see it so much in her face. Maybe here I can. Here you can see first ray, fifth ray, and seventh ray, very intent. A great sacrifice she made by exposing herself to all this, and she died of her work, but gave to the world a knowledge of radium. This is a very stylish lady, and seventh ray rules fashion when it's combined with the first, fourth ray as well. Here is the man who wrote The Lord of the Rings. Do you think there's any seventh ray magic in The Lord of the Rings?
Yes.
There is just a bit. And the fascinating thing is he looks very seventh ray here, here, and here. And later, the second ray seems to come in. And the fourth ray as well. For all of his rich fantasy. Oh, this is like the Merlin figure, who is based on the Finnish figure called Väinämöinen, who is the sort of patron of Finnish mythology. He's the elder of Finnish mythology. He's the archetypal magician. That's where they got the Gandalf figure. As a matter of fact, Tolkien studied Finnish to write the language called Elfish. Okay, very interesting. Anyway, this is the great magician, and Merlin is the type. Here we see Mesmer, who dealing with these etheric forces. Here we see again, just like Mannerheim, seventh ray. Seventh ray types often stand up straighter than other types. You rarely, you know, if they're seventh ray soul, you don't see them slouching. They have posture. Because after all, they are a pillar, aren't they? They have to be a pillar in the community. Come to Saint Germain again. Here's Gandalf, 7th ray, definitely, and so forth. All right. Here are the Chohans of the seven rays, Master Moria, Master Kutumi, Paul the Venetian, who was the artist Paul Veronese, 3rd ray, Master Serapis, look at the eyebrows. See? He's got that 4th ray look. Here's St. Paul, Master Hilarion. He's a Scorpio, so he's got the widow's peak coming down like that. Master Jesus, Shroud of Turin, looks pretty good. And Master R, I've seen better pictures. All right. Conclusion. You have a ray formula. You have an astrological chart. You have subtle energies, and you have a destiny. Your soul knows your destiny, you may not. But one of the ways to do it is to use these subtle energy patterns, the maps that help you get in touch with how your soul planned your incarnation. And if you take the time to study these subtle energies and how they configure themselves, you'll know what you have to work with so you can use your energies to the best possible advantage to help out in a needy world, which is a worthy thing to do, thus contributing to the externalization of the hierarchy and the reappearance of the Christ. Thank you.